As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
I was flipping through the channels the other day, but there was nothing good on, I had nothing to play. So I went to my computer and realized that there was so much content before my eyes. But there's nothing but Netflix in my heart and on my screen. There's always something good that I still haven't seen. But maybe one day we can try to watch the rest.
Yeah, that's right. Nothing But Netflix is back to talk about one of the top movies on Netflix, Troll. And here we are. We've invited one of the internet's top experts who has dealt with all matters of Troll. Here he is. It's Chappelle. Chappelle, how are you?
Rob, I'm good. Yeah, you're right. I've dealt with some trolls in my time.
Yeah.
And when I heard the name of this movie was called Troll, I thought that that was what we were going to be talking about. You know, like maybe it's like an internet thing, a social media thing. I thought it'd be a cool spin. I was not expecting the literal side of a mountain to turn into an animal or a troll.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this has been a good time.
Yeah. It was the number one movie on Netflix last weekend. It is number four in terms of movies on Netflix at recording time. So we had to dive in and talk about Troll, which if you have not heard of what this is, but just like to listen to Chappelle and I talk about movies, that it is a Norwegian film. Which is sort of like a Godzilla slash King Kong type movie about a 150-foot tall troll, which was part of like the Norwegian mountainside, which has come to life and is going to destroy Norway.
Yeah, that's it. Like you said, it's kind of like Godzilla or King Kong, where there's just this huge, massive mystical creature that is going to, you know, tear the world apart in some shape, form, or fashion. And everybody has to figure out how to deal with it. And of course, people don't believe that it's a thing, right? Like, they're like, oh, there's no way trolls exist. That's crazy. Even though it's painfully obvious that, yeah, this is clearly something. We just, you know, can't put a name to it. So the whole movie is them trying to, one, determine if this is a troll, determine what that means for the rest of them, mm-hmm. and then trying to figure out how to kill it.
And while it sounds like this is kind of like a low budget, like a horror movie, it's actually kind of well done. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, it's cool. Like, it hits all the points that you would expect a movie like this to hit.
But yeah.
It didn't feel super, like, it didn't seem super corny.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't, what, the bear that got into the cocaine or whatever?
Cocaine bear, yeah. Sure.
Yeah, Cocaine Bear. Like, this isn't that, but it's very much on brand for like those other movies where you just pick a random, you know, monster, and then you insert it into the world, the unsuspecting world, and sees what happens.
It's a movie about a 150-foot stone monster attacking Norway, but it is probably like the best possible version of this that you could have hoped for.
I do have some questions about certain points in the movie.
We will
for
talk
sure,
about
but
them. No doubt.
Yeah, I think the subject matter kind of puts it in a box to where it can only be so good.
Yeah.
And I think it reached its peak for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, Chappelle, it's a little bit like, you know, a like fast food burger, burrito, whatever, and like, but it was like the best one you could get. Like, there's a ceiling.
Mm-hmm. It's like, no, it's like gas station food. You know, like you go into the gas station, you know that like you probably shouldn't be eating this, but it's fine. It'll get you to the next point. That's kind of how I felt. Like, it's fine. I'm not like, why did I watch this? It's more like, oh, okay, cool. That was interesting that they did that.
Yes. It is not like laughably bad.
No, which I kind of say is kind of disappointing, you know, because like you would think
it would give us more to podcast about. Yeah.
Well, yeah, for sure. And you'd think of like a movie about a troll of all the animals or mythical creatures that have ever destroyed the world. You know, the movie about the troll. This one sounds like it has the potential to, you know, be goofy. And it kind of like there were goofy moments, but it really wasn't as like campy as I would have liked. I don't think it like hit the mark where I would have thought my troll movie would have been. But again, it's fine.
Not to be confused with Troll 2, which is often talked about as the worst movie ever made, famously. Do you know about Troll 2?
No. Is that the movie from the 90s?
Is it from the 90s or is it from the late 80s? Troll 2. It's a 19...
Woodland Trolls.
Yeah, 1990 film, Troll 2, famously a 1990 horror film. There's like documentaries about it, about the worst movie ever made. That's Troll 2. So to go back to the troll, well, I'm not sure if like the film is, the title is an exact translation from whatever the Norwegian film was.
No, I doubt it. Right. But, I wonder if we need to go and watch Troll 2, maybe not for nothing but Netflix. I doubt it's on nothing but on Netflix. I'm sorry. But like, if you ever need some random content, I say get Jenny Autumn on the phone and make that happen, Rob. I think y'all can, y'all would cover that really well. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that really would have been a good call during quarantine. Like that would have been peak quarantine content. But I think that, you know, it's going to be a couple months without Survivor coming up in a couple of weeks. So we can definitely explore that. So, all right. Troll, it was released on Netflix in December of 2022. And it looks like that it was originally released in Norway.
Yeah. I mean, this was Norwegian and I think, right, like it was dubbed, right? I think I stopped paying attention to whether it was dubbed or subbed, but I'm sure this was a dubbed Norwegian film, right?
Yeah. Well, I don't know that I'm on the Wikipedia and it says it was released in Netflix. The distribution is on December 1st, 2022. Yeah, I don't know if there was any sort of like a Norwegian theatrical release for this.
Like a rollout. Yeah. I think this is just like Netflix Norway. You know, when we did Tudum and they were talking about the global Netflix releases. I think this might just be one of those. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so the movie is in Norwegian, which you can watch it with subtitles or with English dubbing. Chappelle, were you a purist and read only the subtitles?
I mean, I read the subtitles on everything now. I've gotten to the point, I'm an old, so if the subtitles are not on, how can I hear this? You know, so I already have them on, but no, I didn't. I let it be dubbed, y'all. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
For me, this wasn't deep enough subject matter for me to really want to get into the nuance of all the conversation that we're having. I was just like, no, I think these people can handle it. And so I listened to the dub.
Chappelle, you know me. I'm always going for the dub.
It's just, I want better for you, but I also can't judge because I was dubbing with you this time. So I don't know. I don't know how I feel.
Yeah. Okay. So the movie really takes the approach of like that we are, in some ways, it's kind of like a Jurassic Park where that we have like some scientists that get brought in who kind of know about the troll. The main character in the movie, her name is Nora. She ends up in the beginning of the movie. We see her with her dad, who was I guess he knew all of the troll lore and used to take her on like mountain climbing expeditions and would explain everything about troll culture.
Yeah, the way it feels to me is that when she was younger, he would peep her to all the like fairy tales and like you said, the lore of the trolls. But then somewhere in life, he starts to think, wait, maybe this isn't fairy tales. Maybe this is real. Like, I think at first he wasn't like a complete believer. And then somewhere in the mix, he found something in his studies that let him think, oh God, no, all these fairy tales are actually real. And this troll is out there and we're not safe, you know? And And maybe the world is anti-troll. You know, I think he takes a very pro-troll stance in this movie. And I just don't think he was like, I don't think he was born that way. I think he really like learned over this over time. So yeah, it starts off with him and his daughter, Nora. And then later on, we see that she's a full-blown, you know, paleontologist or archaeologist. But she's not so into the trolls like her dad was. She's kind of more skeptical.
Yeah, dad goes down bad for the trolls. He really goes down a rabbit hole and is all into like troll conspiracies and everything about how the government. Now, he ultimately ends up being right. And I think it's a little bit of a troubling message I take away from it, because I think a lot of people could get the wrong idea of that they might have some crazy ideas. And people are like, you got to stop talking about that stuff. That's nonsense. And they might watch this movie and be like, yo, they said that guy was crazy too. And it turned out that he was right.
Yeah. I mean, this guy even pulled that out of his head a couple of times. He's like, I'm right about trolls. And people are like, there's no way that trolls are a real thing. He's like, one time people didn't think dinosaurs were a real thing. And he's like, okay, you got us with that one. But this is totally different. And by the end, we find out that maybe it's not, not for him. So yeah, I think it might send a troubling message.
The wrong message, right?
Yeah, you know, like believe in yourself, you know, stand in your convictions, but also science is real. It happens, you know? So if the scientists are saying, you know, one thing, I'm not saying always go with the scientists, but you know, lean towards science most of the time and then, you know, use other factors to, you know, make your decision. Don't just go off of, you know, blind assumptions about, you know, creatures that, I don't know. For my opinion, Rob, I always think of trolls as like those little dolls, you know, with the hair sticks up.
Did you ever have those? Little jewel.
No, but but I remember seeing them. So like maybe like, I don't know. When I hear troll, that's where my mind goes. And that's why I couldn't personally believe his story if I was in this situation, because I would still be thinking those little creatures, you know.
Do you understand ultimately like the mythology of the movie? Like are the trolls like naturally occurring like phenomenon in nature that humans just don't understand? Or was there like some kind of magic that got done that turned creatures into the mountains? Do you understand exactly what the film tries to tell us about the mythology of the trolls?
Not at all. So I was looking at the film as though like trolls existed the same way such like a thing like a dinosaur would have existed, right? It would just been there. And then, you know, through whatever means it was extinct or whatever. And, you know, thus there's a bunch of like folklore and tales about the actual the way this actually happened. And then there's probably like the truth somewhere. And so that's kind of how I looked at it. But then throughout, it's really hard to tell because sometimes it looks like there's magic involved. I mean, the trolls literally can stand up from the side of a mountain as long as it's not in broad daylight. And when I say broad daylight, I mean like direct sunlight, because apparently if it's overcast, they're fine. I'm looking at you, Twilight. And so that happens. And so I'm like, okay, well, that's obviously magic. Yeah. But then they make the troll, they humanize the troll in a way by the end where they're talking about, oh, he just wants to go home and he has a family and he was the king and all this, he's the last of his kind. It's like, oh, okay, there's something else in here somewhere. But I didn't get like, I don't think they gave us a through line of this is how the trolls got there, this is how they left, and this is where they are today.
Because the dad starts the movie with telling a fairy tale about like the 13 trolls and how they were like up on the mountain and then they got turned to stone and that, you know, the trolls were real. Like, I don't necessarily know like how we go from that into that. Then the trolls like were in a war with the Christians who then like took out a bunch of the trolls, which I don't even understand how they did because they seemed to be indestructible. And then there was like one troll that got like trapped.
Listen, if nobody else can eradicate an entire civilization, it's definitely the Christians. As one, I can say that. And so, yeah, the Christianization of Norway is what the doctor, or I guess her father, Nora's dad, Mr. Tindemann, is his name. Toby? What's his name? Tobias, I think, is his name. He just feels like the Christianization of Norway is what led to all of this. The trolls were anti-Christianity. The blood of Christians made them want to eat. And church bells, like, really, you know, like, drove them crazy. They were seen throwing boulders at churches to get the bells to stop. I don't know what this story is trying to tell us, Rob.
Yeah, I don't know what the message of
should I be offended as a Christian?
Like, I don't know. I it's a good question. We may need to bring in some troll experts to see if they could really explain what's going on. So basically, I don't really understand the mythology of the troll. I could tell you what happened in the movie, but as far as like the big picture, like maybe I need like a prequel, Chappelle.
I don't know if we need another troll. I think we're good here. I just think we just need to just use the vibes and figure out what we, you know, just go off of what we know. Yeah. Because I don't think not knowing the lore really does a lot to throw off the plot of the movie. I think like you're fine. I think they give you just enough to make it through.
Yeah, ultimately, Troll is more of a vibes movie than a plot movie.
Oh, 100%. Because there are moments where the cast is definitely vibing and I'm thinking, well, if you did this, it'd probably be more beneficial to the plot. But you know, I think given what they had, the material that they had, and the lack of troll lore that I've ever seen, I think they did the best that they could do.
Yeah. So, all right. Nora, she is a paleontologist. She's working on a big project. Meanwhile, the Norwegian government is like boring through like a mountain to make like another tunnel, and environmentalists are up in arms. They don't like that there is another tunnel being drilled through the mountains. And so they're like blowing things up with dynamite. But I guess something goes wrong, because then there's like a big like cave in and a disaster. And a bunch of people are hearing noises, and they have to bring in officials of like, we get to go like behind the scenes with like the Norwegian government.
Yeah, I don't know anything about the Norwegian government except for what I saw in this film. So this is my complete rundown. I know about as much as I know about trolls as I do the Norwegian government.
Yeah.
But watching this, there was a moment where the environmentalists are protesting and they're saying, like, let the mountain live. And I thought, oh, these are pro-troll people. But no, they just meant like, you know, don't destroy another mountain for another tunnel. Of course, like you said, this leads to what looks like a natural disaster of just like this huge cave-in. The government's brought in because this is like, we haven't seen anything this big. They don't know if it's an act of terrorism. They don't know if it's just like sinkholes. They don't know what the case is. So they go after Dr. Tindemann as, Dr. Nora. She is the person who they bring in to kind of be their expert on all things paleontology and at least the land that they're in at that time.
Chappelle, are there a lot of people that are anti-tunnel? They preserve the mountain?
I don't know. Don't get me wrong. If you're a mountain person listening to this, you know, make yourself known, but be polite. You still have a mountain. I'm pretty sure like wildlife is affected by the mountain being attacked by these
but
people.
But it's a tunnel. You can get places faster.
Yeah, you can get places faster. And then the wildlife can just be like around the tunnel. You know, like it's a tunnel, so there's still space. It's just, you know, I'm kidding, but I do think that there's a lot of ecosystems that are probably disrupted by people digging in mountains, stuff like that. Then, you know, there's always like, what is it, fracking that happens as well.
Yeah.
And people like, you know, are always digging up trouble. And so I think that's where you get these. And so I think that's where you get these environmentalists who are trying to put a stop to some of this stuff. Mm-hmm.
So there's a big cave in. They bring in the prime minister and it's like, you got to take a look at this. And they've got like overhead footage and they think like kind of looks like there's like some footprints coming away from this disaster, but it can't actually be footprints, right?
Right. They're too big to be footprints. And of course, that's why they go get our paleontologist. They're like, okay, you go look at this and tell us what you see, because it obviously looks like footprints, but it can't be. So we need to rule that out. And that's how they end up with Dr. Nora here.
I think it's a little bit of a leap to like, looks like there's footprints. Let's bring in a paleontologist.
We just got to make sure this isn't some like animal. And they also need to understand how the land works around there too. And so she's been doing some digging over there and studying the earth in that area. Then maybe she has some insight, but it does become one of those problems where she looks at the footage and sees the footprints and she does not instantly say like, well, what else is this? Yeah. She sees the footage and says, this is an animal print. So now let's try to figure out what animal it is. But there's still some doubt to that, because it would have to be the largest animal that anybody's ever seen. Mm-hmm. And it kind of looks ape-like. So people start to, you know, question if she's like saying, like, is King Kong loose? What do we have going on here? But nobody can be sure at this time.
Mm-hmm. There's a couple of other characters. There is Andreas, who is kind of a sympathetic, like the only government bureaucrat who is like kind of a nice guy. He is working with Nora throughout the film. And then there is Sigrid, who I don't know. Is there like kind of like a romance between Andreas and Sigrid? She's like a computer person.
Basically. Yeah. You know, she works for the government.
I was going to say nerd. I was going to say nerd, but.
Oh, you're going to say nerd?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, she has some nerd tendencies, but.
She's a hero. I think. I don't mean it disparagingly. Yeah.
No, she's very much one of the heroes of this story, if not the actual hero of this entire story. Mm-hmm. I like Siggy. She's out here doing the thing.
She can hack anything. Feel like, yeah.
Yeah. It does feel like Andreas and Siggy know each other in the biblical sense.
They love Star Trek. Know? Yeah.
Yeah. Something's going on there. We have to get to the bottom of it.
It doesn't really get explored in the film, but, you know, maybe it's implied. Okay. And so that she's able to like, hey, I hacked into somebody's phone and I got this camera phone footage. Now, Chappelle, the camera phone footage they got, you know, first of all, it looked like it was a great camera. Also, like, I felt like that this person was filming horizontally during this disaster. I wasn't buying it. It took me out of the movie.
Yeah, the aspect ratio was kind of.
Yeah.
And I was like, who does that?
You know, people would have been like holding the phone vertically.
Uh-huh. No, I get that. No one does that. And maybe it's in a crisis. People had lost their heads. They were just doing whatever. But I agree. You know, like, it's just kind of tacky, you know? I mean, don't get me wrong. It's better for playback. The horizontal video is like, if you send that to somebody, like, that's great. It's going to fill up your whole screen. Something about that vertical footage that is very tacky, you know, where you share your screen and you kind of got the blank space up top. So I'm happy they made the choice. But I also don't buy that they had that much like foresight into all of this.
Mm-hmm. And in the footage that they see, a shadowy figure, they pause it at a certain point and they see that this is like some kind of a monster.
Yeah. Dr. Nora, she's just like, so y'all don't see that monster right there. And they're like, you're crazy. She's like, I know you see what I see. They're like, yeah, but still, you know, like, mm-hmm. we cannot acknowledge that that's an actual monster, because then what do we know? You know what I'm saying? Like, everything we think that we know is a lie at that point. So they're like, you're crazy. We need more evidence. We need more information. And so her and Andreas take off in a helicopter. And I guess they're going to kind of like check out the site. And then that's when they're flying over other, like a house that has been destroyed by this, you know, alleged monster that other footprints. And it's very clear that she's probably on the right track, that it is definitely a monster and not just like some random natural disaster that happened.
Chappelle, can you describe what the monster looks like for people who did not see the movie?
I mean, very much like. Like what you would say with King Kong, probably at the lower half, mm-hmm. and then like the upper half is like what you would see as a troll, right? Like a fairy tale looking troll, mm-hmm. maybe even a Harry Potter troll. You know, it's just, you know, it kind of has like a grumpy face with a little beard, you know, but it's huge. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, it's huge. I mean, he looks very upset throughout, but he's got like a ton of facial hair. Kind of looks like Dr. Tenenbaum's dad a little bit.
Oh, is that how they get along? Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly why they get along. But yeah, so it's kind of like a mix between like a King Kong body and then like a person's face.
Yeah, but also like made out of rock.
Yeah, like the point is that he basically can blend into the mountain. Like, we don't know if this was a mountain. We don't know if it's a troll. We just really can't tell at this point. But like I said, all signs are pointing to at least a huge animal of sorts.
Nora is starting to come to the conclusion that, you know what, I think that maybe my dad might have been onto something. And so she's going to go and then bring in dad. And then we go to see Nora's dad, and he has some more information about what was going on with the trolls. And even though that Nora, I think, is still out at this point, that he's like, oh, you see it's trolls. She's like, dad, how many times do I have to tell you? Like, there's no such thing as trolls. Like, We would have DNA evidence if trolls existed.
Yeah. I like this trope in movies where we have the person who's just like, it's science or bust. You know, like, I refuse to believe in anything else. Like, there has to be an explanation. In these movies, there's always an explanation or whatever. And then it's always comes back to like, but the explanation is that it's just magic. It just happened. And so she's really battling with what she knows to be true, which is that there's no real evidence of these trolls existing. But her dad also doesn't make it any better because he comes off as a lunatic. He comes outside with his shotgun. He doesn't have any pants on. He's hollering about trolls and all this other stuff and government conspiracies to silence the trolls, to make trolls look dumb. Basically, he's saying that those trolls that I know, those little cartoon figurines with the hair, is like propaganda to poison the world against trolls and to make us think that they're not a threat.
Yeah.
So he's pushing all that on her within like seconds of seeing her for the first time in years. We find out also that he kind of spent some time in a psychiatric ward of some sort because people started to think he was crazy. And so, you know, she's dealing with a lot at that point. So it's easy to see why she doesn't instantly just take her dad's word for it.
The movie really takes on a very pro-troll viewpoint. Would you agree?
I mean, unless you're a Christian, right? Mm-hmm. But I think it's very much like, yeah, maybe it's an anti-Christian viewpoint. It's like, these trolls just want to eat Christians and that's it. Like, so what if they throw boulders at churches? They're fine. Let's just keep them out of the way of the Christians.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I think aside from that, yeah, I think it's really like, this troll, it just happens to be here. It didn't ask to be here. It didn't ask to wake up on the side of a mountain in a world that it doesn't understand. So why are we being so harsh on the trolls? We should give them a chance. I don't really know if I buy that, but that's definitely what her dad in throughout the movie is trying to push.
Was all of Norway troll country and then the Christians came in and then took it over from them?
Again, it wouldn't be the first time the Christians have conquered something, especially another country in the name of Christianity. I don't know. They don't even tell us that the Christians were responsible of the extinction of the trolls, right? Like, we just kind of see that they kind of overlap. And literally and figuratively. And so I don't know if that's what happened. And I don't know if we're supposed to believe that trolls are just native to Norway. They don't really get into that. Are there trolls elsewhere? Who knows? Is every mountain troll adjacent?
Oh, my God.
I just don't know.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
All right. So we got dad on board. And the dad gets to see the troll like up close when, you know, the troll comes out. And the dad realizes like, okay, this is the classic troll. This is a troll. We need to bring my dad to go talk to the government.
Yeah. And dad is not the person you want to talk to the government because like his daughter, Nora, she says, Dad, we're about to go talk to the prime minister and the Department of Defense. Listen, tell him what you know, but also do not say the word troll. And instantly her dad comes in and like, so y'all see the troll, right?
Yeah.
Y'all see it? It's right there. And so they want to shut him down. They're like, oh, you brought in this crazy person. This is exactly why we had him locked up in the first place because he doesn't know what he's talking about. And so now it's an uphill battle to get everybody to believe what for him is so obviously a troll.
But that is a challenge, Chappelle. How do you talk about a troll without saying the word troll?
I mean, it's tough. I mean, you can't go in there and be like, I think it's like King Kong, but not, you know, because King Kong
is
also
a phenomenon.
Right. I get it. It might live under a bridge to some, but hear me out. This is the side of a mountain. Now, I know it sounds crazy, but just listen. It also stands up and it can't walk around in sunlight. Now, I know you saw it in the daytime. I know that to be a fact, but it was kind of cloudy. So based on everything we know, all signs point to troll. I think I too would have walked out.
Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. I didn't mention also there's kind of like an army guy that his name is Captain Christopher. And
yeah, Captain Chris.
Yeah. It feels like there's a little bit of like romantic tension between him and Nora, but I don't think they ever even hold hands in the movie. But I thought there was a little bit of like some tension.
Yeah, I think if this was any other film prior to these, like 2020, maybe, then it would have definitely happened. This would have been like the romance that was kind of hidden underneath this story. The story would have become a story about romance and a troll at the same time. This time it kind of hinted at it, but it didn't go there. Oh, yeah. Ooh, trollmance. I hate that. But it didn't go there all the way. But it definitely, there were signs that it could do it. You know, like she's like, kind of like, oh, hey, Captain Chris. He's like, hey, Dr. Nora. You know, they're kind of making eyes at each other. And there was potential. But they don't stay on, like, they're not in, in enough scenes for it to ever come together, truly. He doesn't do the thing where he, like, dives in and saves her life at the last second. And they stare at each other for way too long. I don't know. But they left that open in case you wanted to infer that, you know, maybe something was there.
Yeah. I thought there was, like, a little bit of, like, a love triangle. Maybe I'm just, like, reading something that wasn't there of, like, you know, that for Nora, she spends a lot of time with Andreas and a lot of times with Captain Christopher. Again, nobody actually has a romance in this movie, but I felt like there was, like, two different ways it could have gone.
I didn't see it for Andreas. I mean, he seems nice.
He was friend zone, like, right, Chappelle, you said?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think it was a mutual friend zoning because it didn't seem like he also was very attracted to her. Like, it wasn't like he was like, oh, man, what's the guy from the movie where he's like pining over the girl, but she's all over. I mean, that's every movie. It didn't feel like he was pining for her while she only had eyes for Captain Chris, which is like a typical storyline like this. Mm-hmm. I think it's one of those situations where those two people were just colleagues and they spent a lot of time together. And she also was pining for Captain Chris.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
So we're going to head out to go and see where the troll is going next. And really now the Norwegian military is going to start to get involved. We're going to like start to make some military strikes on this thing. Like we got some drones in the air and the Norwegian military, they are set up and we're going to show the troll who's boss.
I mean, at this point, that's what the military does. I mean, what else do you expect them to do? There's this huge creature that's, you know, has killed a bunch of people at this point, or at least destroyed a bunch of things. So they have to stop it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it stepped on a house. You know, I'm pretty sure there has been a death toll to some extent. So they have to address it. And the only way we really know how is to shoot at stuff, right? And so they go in and they start to open fire. But this seems to annoy the troll. And so it starts to kind of fight back. They're shooting with like the entire force of the military, but the troll was just kind of like, no, I'm not really fazed by that.
Yeah, it is annoying.
Yeah, like, stop it. It's almost like, why are you bothering me? The troll wasn't really bothering them in the moment.
Yeah.
I think they started it. And, you know, the troll could have just left it alone. It was fine.
Mm-hmm. It would be super annoying. Like, imagine you were like, you know, somebody's like just like shooting you with like a water gun. And it's like, all right, stop. Stop.
Right. Or one of those little Nerf guns too, you know, like you just want to throw them away. Like, okay, we're putting a stop to all of this. That's when you just collect the gun. You could tell I'm a teacher. Like, you just collect the toys and be like, stop. You know, like nobody has them anymore. The only thing that really stands out in this scene for me is that the troll can smell the Christian blood and he eats one of the army men because they're hiding from the troll, but he can smell. There's
everybody's
Christians
hiding, but there's one guy that he's like really freaking out and he's like our Father, who art in heaven. And he's like singing like the Lord's Prayer. And he's like, you know, he's in trouble. And it's like, that's the worst thing you could be doing right now because the troll can, maybe he can hear it and he can definitely, he can smell a Christian from a mile away.
Literally. I mean, the troll is you know, he's up in the air. He's so tall and he can smell this Christian way below him. But also, he might have heard that prayer. I mean, I don't know how, you know, how well versed the troll is in, you know, the Bible and Christianity. But I'm pretty sure you can put together that that's the Lord's Prayer that is at least based on some type of faith. So, yeah, it caught the troll's attention and he ate him. That was it. That was probably the troll's first real victim. Everybody else has kind of just been like in the way of the troll. This is like the one that troll was like, nah, I got to eat this guy. Yeah. He's too Christian.
Chappelle, to my knowledge, is that the only person the troll eats in the movie? I feel like he causes a lot of damage, a lot of chaos, destroys things. But there's only one person I feel like he actually eats.
Yeah, only one man prayed throughout the entire film. And the moment he prayed, that was just too much. Nothing tastier to a troll than some good Christian prayer. And so, yeah, I think he's the only one that was actually eaten by the troll. So, again, aside from the troll kind of clumsily destroying everything and in sight, not really bothering anybody, you know, like not actively attacking anybody. Just kind of, it's trying to get to a location and everything is just in its way.
Yeah. So maybe the film is like very anti-religion.
I like I said, at least Christianity was taking the L in this one. It's pro-troll for sure. You know, like, it's definitely like positing that, you know, the government tried to silence the troll, and the troll, like, it tried to villainize the troll and make the troll look really bad. So I think there might be some, like, some type of agenda in this messaging, but I don't know.
Who financed this movie?
Right. I don't even want to speculate, Rob. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Yeah. Do we have that information?
I do not have that information, but I'm sure if you dig deep enough, there's something there.
Yeah, we need to go deeper and see what's mm-hmm. going. We'll see what's going on here with the troll. So that the dad, he is able to, like, he feels like, all right, that, look, this is my shot. And the dad goes and tries to communicate with the troll.
Yeah, he tries to talk to him. He's just like, hey buddy, hi. Mm-hmm. So you're upset, just slow down. I think we'll be okay, it's all good.
Yeah.
And the troll's kind of like, huh, I think this guy's right. I think I'm listening to reason,
right?
But
right.
Yeah. Well, Chappelle, the military.
The dad, mm-hmm. he's like, hold on. It's like, calm down. Now, yeah. I have been told you never want to tell an angry person to calm down. Like, that's I've been told, like, that, like, that's like the worst thing to say. And but the troll is like, okay, I gotta hear this guy out. And he's so tiny, because the troll is so tall, you would think that it would be hard to, like, even hear what he's saying. Like, I would think about, and maybe because I'm podcasting all the time, like, I'm losing my hearing, maybe. Like, I think if I was, like, you know, I'd be like a giant. And if there was, like, an ant that was talking to me, I'd have to, like, pick it up and, like, put it, like, super close to my ear, I think, to even hear what he was saying. But I don't know, maybe it was just vibes.
Yeah, the troll could tell somebody around was not, you know, a danger to them, right? It's like somebody actually wanted to speak to him and to communicate and actually help the troll. Because again, like I said, the troll's on a mission. Nobody just knows what the mission is. So he's kind of like looking for that connection. And so he hears it, or vibes, you know, whatever. He picks up on, like, this guy, Tobias, he might be the one. He might know what he's talking about. But before the troll could really focus on communicating with him, which I don't even know what that looks like, but because we don't even get that far, the military starts shooting again. And mm-hmm. so that causes the troll to react. And then he just kind of smacks Tobias into oblivion. Like, he hits him really hard. He's got an older guy. And anyway, I think anybody would have took a hit here, but Tobias definitely wasn't going to survive this one. So he, like, lands and, like, on, like, a mangled pile. You know, he's just kind of like slowly dying, getting some last words out to his daughter before eventually just kind of, like, you know, passing away at the hands of the troll.
Yeah. And so, you know, takes a, you know, big shot from the troll. Troll, in fairness to the troll, Chappelle, the troll did not mean to do it. This was an right. accident. This was the military. Like, it was like rocket launchers were shooting, and the troll just turned around too quick and killed Tobias. But, you know, Nora, she had been able to reconnect with her dad. And, you know, he says to her, Listen, my child, the palace, the king, you saw it. She's like, what? What are you even talking about?
Yeah, he's like,
can't palace. You not just be crazy even just like for the last second before you're going to die?
Yeah, it's very like House of the Dragon, you know, where mm-hmm. it's like in your last breath, you're just like talking incoherently because a little too much milk of the poppy. You know what I'm saying?
You have to speak in riddles right now.
Right. It's like, please just spit it out. And mm-hmm. no, all he manages to get out is just kind of like some cryptic words about a palace and a king. And then he dies. And it's very sad.
Believe, he says also.
Oh, yes. You got to believe. Because the moral of this story is that, like, it's not seeing is believing. Believing is seeing. Like, you believe it first and then you'll see it, which, again, mm-hmm. weird messaging, but you just kind of have to go with it. That's probably a shout out to Christianity too, in a way. Mm-hmm. But anyway,
Doubting Thomas.
Yeah. So here we have Nora, who just basically, she's grieving. You know, she lost her dad, who you don't get the sense that they've been very close for a number of years.
Very
strange. Still heartbreaking to watch. Yeah, still hard to watch though.
Yeah, but they get to like reconnect over the trolls, and you know, he gets to have like a little bit of like, see, I told you so. You nobody believe me mm-hmm. about the troll. So he gets to kind of go out on a high note.
Yeah. This is one of those things where it's like, at least he was able to get his daughter to believe that he wasn't crazy before he left. So yeah, it could have ended worse for him. I mean, because it was bound to end. But yeah, this was like you said, a high note. And though that leads Nora to basically going to grieve for like a day because she does not have the time. Like she's looking over photo albums and stuff like that, but she can't even have like any bereavement time because they still have to figure out what to do about this troll because it's just attacking the countryside at this point.
Do you think that it was bittersweet for Tobias that he actually got killed by a troll? Like his whole life's work was like trolls, trolls, trolls. Nobody believes me. They're out there. I'm telling you. Then ultimately, like he is proven right, but then also is killed by the thing that only he said existed.
Yeah, points are made on both sides. Mm-hmm. I think, like, yeah, he could have not pursued this line of work as people told him to stand down, leave the trolls alone. I think the Norwegian government even has like some alleged punishment for people since the 1800s, where interaction with a troll
cover was like
it was like a punishable offense. So people have been telling him to stay away from the trolls this whole time. He did not. He was proven right. There's some vindication there. But then also, what is it? Hoisted by his own petard? Is that what it is?
A little bit. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
Something like that.
Yeah. Chappelle, we go to like there's some sort of like troll themed amusement park in Norway. Like pick a lane, Norway. Are you all in on the trolls or are you like trolls don't exist? Don't even talk about them.
No, see, Norway is trolling. You know, they got the trolls like everywhere at this point. Like they're in the side of the mountain. We have a theme park, but you can't say troll. Dear God, don't bring that up. That's preposterous. There's no such thing as trolls. Welcome to Troll Land, home of the trolls. Can I take your order? So yeah, I think Norway is in on the joke. They know what they got going on here.
Yeah, and it's like walking like up through the amusement park. Like again, was this like some connection here or is this just like all coincidence that the troll heads towards like the troll amusement park?
It was just in the way. Like I said, he's on a mission. We don't know to where, but this amusement park is right there. And it seems like at worst, he might just walk through the amusement park. That's horrible because it's a huge troll. So everybody's running for their lives. But then the military has a plan. So Nora, she starts telling the prime minister, going in shooting at the troll just randomly is not going to do it. We need a plan. Prime minister's kind of like, what you got? They kind of play with it a little bit. The idea is like, I don't know about that. She's like, no, listen, the trolls back in the day, the lore says that they would throw huge boulders at churches because the church bells would just drive them crazy. So what if we bring in some church bells and we like use them to weaken the troll in a way? So the military is flying in with these huge jets and they all have these huge church bells hanging from them. And they go in, they basically antagonize the troll. I'm not going to lie to you. So the bells are happening. And what does the troll do? He throws stuff at the bells.
He hates the poem says. So much.
Yeah. I mean, the story said that he throws boulders at the church to get the bells to stop. They bring the bells. What did you think he was going to do? He starts throwing stuff at them. He throws helicopters at him. He throws random pieces of the amusement park at him to the point where one helicopter is actually like crashed into another. It's spiraling to the ground. There's a little girl down there like about to be crushed. Her dad comes to the rescue, but even he's about to get crushed by this helicopter. And then boom, the troll reaches out and catches it with one hand because again, he's not here to cause chaos, y'all. He just needs the bells to stop. He's not here to kill this little girl.
Well, look, he'll eat some Christians. Like, he'll kill Norwegian military people. Like, nothing. Right. Does not care. But it's not going to let a helicopter fall on, like, a random little girl.
Absolutely not. Especially a helicopter he destroyed, which probably destroyed the life of whoever was in that helicopter. Like, you know, I could kill the military, but I'm not killing an innocent child, please. You know, and her dad.
He will also mess up this troll amusement park. Like, that he did not appreciate, I think, that this, like, a troll amusement park was sort of, like, using, like, troll likenesses and stuff like that. Like, he didn't thought that, I think, probably was, like, in poor taste.
Yeah, his race is not a mascot. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's satirical. Change he can it. Tell this is not, yeah, this is not paying homage to the troll. This is, like, trolling the troll. And so the troll says, we're going to shut that down. So there are some moments of, like I said, the movie does a good job of humanizing the troll in a way. There's some moments where you see the humanity of this troll. Like, I kind of hate this, and I also hate those bells. So if we can make all that stop, I'll leave y'all alone. I won't even let this kid die at the hands of this helicopter. But you gotta stop with the bill.
Chappelle, back at headquarters, the prime minister has had enough of Nora. Nora, you're fired. You're fired from this. I mean, Nora's, she's kind of been right on everything. Why are they going to fire Nora? Is this a part of the cover-up?
I mean, no, I don't know about that. So Nora was right that this troll hates church bells. But, I mean, that's all she proved was that the church, like, yeah, thank you. Because those church bells also got
too many helicopters got destroyed.
And probably people driving, yeah, you know, flying the helicopters. I'm sure that didn't help. The amusement park would have probably been better off had they just let the troll pass through as opposed to starting this big fight with the troll as well. So I think that the prime minister is probably thinking at this point, we got to shoot the thing. I don't know what else you want us to do, but we got to shoot it. We really don't need you anymore, Nora.
Yeah. Okay. The prime minister says, Nora, get out of here. You're fired. And, you know, people think, prime minister, you're making a mistake, but she doesn't care. Her plan is she's going to, like, make a message to go to the people of Oslo. Evacuate. Evacuate Oslo. Yeah. Just that at this point, are they and they have a weapon. Are they going to nuke the troll? Is that ultimately the plan? Like, they're going to, we're at that level.
Yeah, we're there now. You know, I think we're used to United States centric movies, so we would already been there. Like, you know, they already brought out the big guns a long time ago and like in King Kong and, you know, and Godzilla. Like, they're already kind of like, so do we nuke them? Do we nuke them? But Norway has run out of options. I think another thing to point out is that throughout the movie, they have been trying to keep this troll thing under wraps. They didn't want people to know that there was possibly like that everybody was in danger. But yeah, once he destroys the amusement park, there's camera footage, like cell phone footage everywhere. So she has to make the address and be like, hey, I know y'all seen what we saw. And that shit is crazy. But hear me out. We're going to blow it up. So we just need all of y'all to stay calm, but also evacuate because we about to come in and drop bombs on them. Her defense team, there's a guy who's kind of like, I won't say an arms dealer, but he's basically like, you know, we got these nukes. She doesn't even know about the nukes. She's like, what? What are you talking about? When did we get those? It's like, I'm just saying.
Look at you, Norway.
Yeah, Norway's like, baby, you don't talk to me about weapons of mass destruction. You ain't got to go there with me. We know what we're talking about. And so the prime minister's kind of like, whoa, how do we get here? But also, probably not wrong. To the point where even Andreas, who is like kind of on her staff, he ends up quitting as well.
Yeah. Doesn't want to be a part of this.
No.
But now for Nora, you know, she's really starting to try to think about, like, what did my father said, the palace, the palace, the king, what should we do? So they're going to go visit. And I didn't even know that there was like some sort of like a king of Norway.
They go visit Sinding. Sinding is the guy who I guess his palace is where they think the troll might be heading because his name is all in the notes. And so they go there and Sinding is not shocked to see either of them. He's just kind of like, oh, yes. Well, I thought once the troll would appear that somebody would show up here. And so he takes them inside and he instantly recognizes Nora. He's like, oh, your dad, you got his eyes. And so I'm just like, what?
It
what
is are a you royal about? Palace.
Like, yeah, there's a royal palace. That's there. Real. And we find out that this royal palace is built on top of another royal palace because that used to be commonplace. Well, this royal palace is built on top of the troll's royal palace. This the king of trolls has had his palace basically just like moved onto by the other king. And so underneath all of that, you see kind of like a troll graveyard, if you will.
You built like a royal palace on a troll graveyard?
On sacred land, yeah. And so here we are. They are looking around and they finally notice, oh God, that's where the king is going. He's going back home because he's the only troll left. And so he's got to make his way to the palace because that's all he knows. And so now they have to figure out, okay, how do we stop the troll or at least stop the military from killing it? Because this troll's done nothing to nobody.
Chappelle, I have so many questions. So they go down into sort of like underneath the palace. It's kind of like Game of Thrones. But instead of like dragon bones all underneath, it's all troll bones. So this is where I'm getting a little confused in the mythology of the trolls. Like, did trolls exist in like some other form before they were mountain people? Because these, like the troll that's attacking the city, he doesn't have bones. He's a mountain.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a skull.
maybe it's like underneath the rock, you know? Like, I don't know. I think maybe as long as they're not in the sunlight, they actually have like a true form. But then once they go in the sunlight, they start to become mountainous. Again, direct sunlight only, because there's some wonkiness with the timeline that these people are doing. Like, the trolls out in the daytime, but it's very much in mountain form out in the daytime sometimes. It's very weird. But yeah, there was a community of trolls at one point, and this is the last one we have left.
Mm-hmm. It was sad.
Yeah, a little bit. Kind of like, dang, this troll just, like, is watching its people be extinct. It's troll people, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's hard to watch for us a little bit, but it's kind of like, also, what are you going to do? You got to kill the troll, right? Like, you can't just let it.
I mean, yeah, you got to at the end of the day.
You kind of have to at this point. You got to kill the troll. Stop it.
So then Nora like has a plan of let's take this giant skull and then we'll put it like in the back of a car and then like drive around with it. And then the troll will chase this car throughout the city and to try to get the skull back.
Yeah, we got to lure the troll to the sunlight. Now, the problem is, it's the middle of the night. So they have the military. She's reached out to Captain Chris. She's like, Captain Chris, we got to get some sunlight in here. What are we going to do? So they go and get these big UV like lights and they start setting them up. But how do they get the troll over there? They got to lure him in. And so, yeah, they use the skull of one of his trollmen. And yeah, it sucks because like they're kind of like playing keep away with the skull of another troll. And so, yeah, the troll follows him throughout the city. He's very upset once he realizes that, oh God, like the skull is my people. Y'all.
Like, are you really driving around like Fast and Furious style of the streets of Oslo with the skull of one of my ancestors?
Right. It's disrespectful. And Dr. Nora, she has to do this. Like, she has to finish her dad's plan, because in talking to the guy at the palace, Ascending, she realizes that 12 years ago, they had her dad committed and they knew that all of this was true, right? They set her dad up to go to the loony bin, as he calls it, because they knew that he was getting too close to uncovering this troll conspiracy, that basically the palace was built on top of the troll thing. Like, he was right there. So they shut him down. So now this is Nora's life mission. And if it takes putting a skull on the back of a pickup truck and then driving through a city like a crazy person, that's what she's going to do. And it does work. They do get the troll back to the area where the UV lights are. But, I mean, he does destroy half the city while doing it. So, you know, again, they're taking some L's on one side. But the ultimate plan was just to get him back over there. And they do. And they end up unleashing the light on him as well.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's interesting. This big light that he doesn't like. First of all, one of the descriptions says that these were tanning beds.
Yeah. There's a moment where they're trying to figure out where to get these big lights from, and Captain Chris is kind of standing outside of what looks like a place where you could get some tanning beds. He's like, oh, I have an idea. Next thing you know, they got them propped up and they're blasting the UV lights at the troll, because they need the power of the sun harnessed in this very moment. Now, again, it's the middle of the night, so the best they can do is these lights.
Well, I bet there's a lot of like tanning beds that are around, because I feel like people don't use them that much anymore. I feel like that a lot of them got made, and then I feel like a lot of people like don't go to like these tanning places.
You think, are they like water beds where they're basically extinct?
I feel like that, you know, people go get like spray tans, but I don't know if people go like sitting like in the tanning bed much.
There's probably some health concerns about doing that.
Like, between you and me, like I have done it. It's a little bit like, you know, you are getting into like the George Foreman grill.
Oh, yeah. It's like that's not great. You know, I will never know that life, Rob. It'll never be a thing that I need to do. Just getting tan is just, God said, nope, not for you. And so I will never know that. But I think getting in a George Foreman grill would be pretty uncomfortable. Rob, how did you feel about your tan when you were done?
I mean, I felt okay at times about it, but you know, you just like, you smell like, am I cooking?
That's not great. Rob, what do white people get from tanning anyway? Just tan? Like, what's the goal?
Yeah, I think that's mostly the goal. I'm trying to remember, like, if maybe, like, I kind of feel like that maybe, like, in sort of, like, the, like, bleaker, like, winter months, maybe it's, like, there's, like, a little bit of, like, okay, I feel, like, a little bit, like, less, like, you know, in the gray and depressed, cold. Right. You know, so yeah. Maybe there's, like, a little bit of something there, too.
Right. I've always kind of wondered this, just like kind of like you wake up one day and just like, you know what? I think I need to be darker today. As somebody who is dark and then gets darker in the summertime, I never want to be darker. Like I would like to be consistently dark the entire time. But like just as wake up one day and be like, I'm going to something I really need to put my winter coat on. It's not really something that I've had to ever deal with in my life.
I think the idea is that you are getting like some sort of like a healthier glow, like you are like outside and like doing things as opposed to like I have been sitting in like my house for like 9 months and look very pale and like ghostly.
Yeah, ghastly. Yeah, I could definitely see that. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's starting to make sense. I just, again, this is always a phenomenon that just it just escapes me. I was just like, what is the point? You know, it's like whatever. But thank you for clearing that up, because mm-hmm. I probably have another list of questions that I could go to ask you about. Hey, like what white people be doing?
Chappelle, anytime. I'm happy to talk about it.
Okay, I'll send you a Google Doc. I have a few things.
It'd be great.
You know, I just found out what advent calendars were the other day. Like,
yeah,
this
I
is
was
wild.
Surprised about that. And I guess maybe you could, you know, smell my Christian blood from a mile away. But yeah, I was surprised But do you know about Advent?
I know what Advent is.
Yeah, but the issue is calendar.
The issue is that people were talking about Advent calendars so much recently. I'm like, is something happened to where these are mm-hmm. like new well, and shiny? You know what
I was
saying?
Talking about it on the Survivor podcast with Bryce about the different Advent. I don't remember if there was something that happened with Survivor that we talked about the Advent calendar. We're talking about maybe the Advent calendar for like wine. Like, I feel like that, like, what they normally are is just, like, it's a little cardboard thing and it's, like, a little piece of chocolate, like, every single day. That's what it was, like, I feel like, that my whole childhood. But I feel like that they've really, like, evolved to be, like, oh, there's a little toy in here every single day.
Yeah, I've seen wine. People have talked about toys. There have been, like, different types of advent calendars. But it was just so topical. Everybody was talking about it. I was just like, I have to ask, what mm-hmm. is white people's obsession with these calendars? Because it seems like it's gotten far away from the meaning of Advent in general. It also just kind of seems like it's just a fun thing that people were doing that they weren't letting me know about. You know, mm-hmm. So I had to ask. So mm-hmm. yeah, I put that on my list next to tanning.
Would you want an Advent calendar? Would you want something to open every single day? Like sometimes people have like them and it's not even like, you know, that there's something inside. You could have one that's just like a little, like you're opening like a little door of like a little cabinet thing.
Just opening it just to do it.
Yeah, sometimes it could be cardboard. I guess you could have ones that have like a little bit like a little decorative thing. It's basically like a Christmas countdown from like December 1st to December 25th.
Yeah, I just it was like the novelty of just the wine and all that stuff that was really throwing me off. Like if you tell me it's a Christmas calendar, I was like, I understand that. But I just really could not understand like the popularity of these things if it was just a mm-hmm. calendar. But it makes sense if people were like doing wine and hot sauce or tea bags.
Yeah, you could do
Pokemon.
Yeah. Coffee pots. Yeah. Sure.
Yeah, it makes sense now.
So, all right. So they turn on like this, like they lure the troll to like this place where there's all these tanning beds and he's just kind of like annoyed. He's like, and then Nora's like, turn it off. He doesn't like it. Like Nora, I mean, you're kind of like pick a lane here at this point.
Yeah, she sees this happening, right? She sees the sunlight is weakening him and she's kind of just like, yeah, like we're about to win, but at what cost? You know, like, dear God, the troll hasn't really done anything to us. We kind of put the troll in this position. He's just trying to get back home, y'all. Can we reconsider? But the jets are already on their way to nuke the place. The troops are there. She's there. And there's a struggle for command at back at, I guess, wherever the prime minister's situated at.
Sigrid, the hacker, she like hacked into the Norwegian. I mean, the Norwegian like infrastructure of the like the armed forces like doesn't get like a great glow up in this movie because that they're basically able to get hacked from the inside and then they're not able to launch their nuclear weapons at the troll up until like the last second when like the fighter jets are coming in. But they ultimately, Sigrid like punches like one of the, like the arm, the head of the armed forces guys. And then they just basically like abort the mission. And they're like, okay, there was the troll. They turn off the lights. And then she kind of has like a, Nora kind of has like a moment with the troll, kind of like her dad, where she's able to communicate with him. And it seems like that maybe like there's a possibility to communicate with him. But then all of a sudden the sun rises and then just kills him.
Thank God. You know, like, shut that down. Nora, you're about to do the same thing your damn daddy did, which is try to talk to the troll and then get crushed like everybody else did. Mm-hmm. I'm happy that this happened. This was one of those moments where I'm thinking, why are you trying to reason with this monster? Your best case scenario is what? You convince it to go be a mountain again? Like, it's not going to stop trying to destroy that palace to get underneath that palace to where its palace used to be. So there's no upside to you being like, but I understand you. Like, we're here to help you. The sun comes up and shuts that all down. Look at God. Look at Christianity.
But the troll, he wasn't a monster. He was just misunderstood.
Uh-huh. And now he's a mountain. Mm-hmm. So no one could have understood how misunderstood he was until that moment. Like, imagine being a mountain and thinking you're a troll. No, you're a mountain again. And so, that shuts it all down. They won. We won, Rob. Mm-hmm. We did it.
I'm so confused, though, about the, if it gets, like, dark again, does the troll turn, it's like a vampire? Does it, like, turn back into a troll, like, if it gets dark again? Or, like, once the sun hit the troll, that's it. He's done. Direct sunlight.
I think that's what it was. Yeah, so the troll had been hiding from the sun.
The best disinfectant.
Yeah, clearly. The troll had been hiding from the sun. And then once the sun got him, in, you know, at full blast again, that kind of like put him back down. So I think he's done. We don't have any reason to believe that troll will get up again. But, you know, the possibility for other trolls is still left out there for us at the end of the movie.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And so, Nora, what does she do at the end of the movie?
At the end of the movie, Nora's just kind of like, her and Andreas are kind of trying to decide what they're about to do now,
yeah.
Right?
So Andreas quits the government. Yeah,
he quit the government, but he tried to tell the prime minister, like, but if you want to hire me back, you know, it's all good. I just don't want to do this particular job. Like, I got things out here mm-hmm. for me. And Nora kind of, she's like thinking about the next adventure. We kind of get a zoom in on Nora because Andreas asks, you know, do you think there's more trolls out there?
No. Nah.
And couldn't be, but like a smirk from Nora. Like, you know, if there is, she's going to be like, the adventure is waiting for her. And so, yeah, that's kind of the end of the story for Nora. Or at least so we think. We do get a post-credit scene, Rob.
Yeah. And in the post-credits, it's like, there's like another troll that's out there. Well, hold on. I thought the whole movie was that this troll was by himself.
No. You thought you were all alone.
The last of the trolls.
Uh-huh. Nope. No more trolls. You know what? Never feed the trolls because there's always another one lurking to do the same exact thing. There's reason to believe that there could be another troll out there. Do you remember what is that movie? The Godzilla, was it Godzilla 2000? Do you remember that movie?
Was that the one with Matthew Broderick?
Yeah, it was. That's no, I don't think it's called Godzilla 2000, the one with Matthew Broderick, but that's the one I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
And then
they did like one with Walter White.
Yeah, but that's not the one I'm talking about. The one with Matthew Broderick, I remember the end of that movie. They're doing like this exact thing, right? Like they go into Madison Square Garden. The camera's kind of like dollying in and you get like the wide shot. And it's this whole big room in under Madison Square Garden. All you see is a bunch of Godzilla eggs. And you're like, oh crap, there's going to be a sequel. There was never a sequel, Rob. They gave us Godzilla 2.
Yeah. Well, here for this movie, in an interview with What's on Netflix, I don't know what that is, producer Christian Strand Sinkerud said that the crew has ambitions to make a sequel, perhaps two sequels. It all depends on how the audience of the film are responding to the film. So,
okay.
This is plans for Troll Trilogy.
The Trilogy. Yeah, not a trilogy. I mean, it was right there. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we need a trilogy.
It was
fine.
Yeah,
it was okay. Like it happened, and everybody's fine. You know,
fine.
Like, we're all no one like died. Mm-hmm. You know, like, watching this, we're all like, this
they
was
named
cool.
The Rock after the dad.
They did. Tobias Boulder. or something like that. Yeah. Tobias Rock, something to
maybe
that effect.
Maybe there's more like alliteration in Norwegian. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. It's not as catchy. Yeah, that's it. I mean, I think we can close the book on the trolls. Yeah. We don't really have to
close the book. It was fine. Everywhere. Yeah.
Do we get a troll prequel?
I would like to see how they turn them into like rock creatures. I get the sense that they were like had some other form first.
Yeah, it would be nice if we knew kind of how the trolls ended up here. So I potentially would watch that, but I'm not interested in a sequel. No,
maybe from the perspective of the trolls.
Oh yeah, from like being a mountain and just kind of waking up because the demolitionists are,
or it's like some other creatures that like are fighting the Christians and having like magic done to them.
Okay. I don't know about this. Okay, we can watch it. Yeah. If it drops, we gotta watch it. We'll put it, like, just put a flag there. We'll come back to Troll if there is a prequel.
All right.
To,
this movie. Chappelle, on the advent calendar of our December, here we are. Mm-hmm. It's the middle of the month, heading towards that. We're recording this on the 11th. Next weekend is gonna be the 18th when we record again. I'm feeling like we need to hit another holiday special on Netflix.
We got to, right? I think our last holiday movie was in November, which, I mean, there is a time for holidays, and November does have holidays, but I really think that we're doing our listeners a disservice if we're not talking about some of these Christmas movies that they love, because even the non-Christians are really, like, lean into this time of the year and these Christian movies, these Christmas movies, and so if there is one out there, Rob, I think we need to explore it, but the question is, which one do we talk about?
Yeah, there's a lot that are on Netflix right now. And so I would love to get some help from our audience about what would be the best Netflix holiday movie or special to be talking about next week on the podcast. Like, there are ones that are dropping coming up this week, but I don't know if those would necessarily be the best ones to do, or if there is some existing Christmas shows or movies on Netflix that we should be talking about. So coming up this week, there is a return of Murderville of Who Killed Santa, but that's just going to be like a special. There's also a movie called I Believe in Santa. There is a movie called A Storm for Christmas. Meanwhile, there is The Noel Diary, which has been on Netflix for a while.
Yeah. Is there a holiday section of Netflix? Like, is there like a category for Netflix that's just holiday films? Oh, look, season streamings.
Season streamings.
Okay. So Holiday is a thing. It's only an hour and a half, but I think this is Emma Roberts in this movie. It is. Fed up with being single on the holidays, two strangers agree to be each other's platonic plus ones all year long, only to catch real feelings along the way. Holiday. That was a 2020 movie, Rob.
Yeah. So we need help. Tell us, what's the holiday film that we should be talking about? Hopefully something that's like super unhinged. That's really our lane. And then we'll come on and talk about this. And I think we're open to, if we need to go beyond the confines of Netflix, Apple TV Plus,
hanging with Hulu. Yeah,
that we want to know a holiday movie, holiday special for this year to talk about.
Listen. The listeners have been with us on this Netflix journey for a while, but Rob, we're going into the new year. I would be open to exploring other streaming platforms. Now, I know this is called nothing but Netflix, but we can do maybe set aside 1 week or out of every month, or, you know, whenever things get stale, do a special. Like you said, hanging with Hulu, we to be or not up. To be.
Yeah.
You know, we can mix it up. So
we're the stream team.
We're the stream team. Yeah. I love the stream team. That's hilarious. I think. And then our stream teamers, the listeners, if y'all can come up with some clever play on words for what we need to do with Apple TV, then I think, you know, we could do our Hulu or not, or what is it? Hulu
hanging
or
with
don't
Hulu?
You?
Yeah. No,
Come up with some branding, y'all, so we can move into other streaming services. Because this is nothing but Netflix, but I think there's a lot more to be explored if we start to tiptoe outside of the confines of Netflix.
That's controversial.
Yeah. Yeah, but don't put us in a box. I think we put ourselves in a box, but we also can take ourselves out of that box.
Take us out of the box. Okay. Mm-hmm. Chappelle, what else is coming up for you these days?
I'm busy with the end of the season, like everybody else is. Yeah. So preparing for the holidays, but also wrapping up some of these podcasts that I've been doing all year.
Yeah. Y'all are wrapping gifts. Yeah. We're wrapping up podcasts.
That's what we do here. We rap. And so as your favorite rappers, myself and Gia Worthy are talking about Abbott Elementary on Poster Recast. So we just wrapped up the mid-season finale of season 2 of Abbott Elementary called Holiday Hookah. So check that out. It was such a fun episode. There were some cameos from some very famous people who you wouldn't expect to see on Abbott Elementary. So that's a good time. So check out Gia and I talking about that on Poster Recaps. You can follow us on our own feed, Abbott Elementary, a Poster Recap, to keep up with all that stuff. Speaking of Poster Recaps, doing a lot of wrapping up there, doing some year-end podcasts where we just kind of go back and explore the year-end Poster Recaps. So I recently recorded a year-end podcast with Puya to talk about Bel-Air and what we thought about the premiere season of Bel-Air. I did a year-end podcast with LaTanya and Mari to talk about our feelings about Atlanta now that that series is over. Mm-hmm. And I'll also be doing a year-end podcast to talk about The Walking Dead with Josh Wigler, AJ Mass, Jessica Lease, and myself, because The Walking Dead is over. But, you know, of course, we're still getting started.
Sure.
You know, all that kind of stuff. Yeah, you know how it goes on The Walking Dead. But we got to talk about The Walking Dead proper and wrap that up, too. So check that out on Post Show Recaps. And I'm also guesting on Post Show Recaps this week because I'll be talking about the season finale, season 2 finale of The White Lotus with Dr. Amanda and Ariel. So that'll be a good time. I'm sure it'll be wild. So mm-hmm. if you haven't already heard that, check that out. It's always fun to talk to those two. And I'll be guesting on Silent Podcast. I guess technically I work for Silent Podcast, but sometimes I feel like a guest. But I'll be doing some Big Brother coverage. It'll be myself, Mari, Sasha, and this will be hosted by Isaiah 8-Ball Bangers over on Silent Podcast. We're going to talk about Big Brother 16. So check that out. And then I think my last guest spot is going to be on The Shit 90 Shows Taught Me podcast to talk about Home Alone 2.
Oh,
a great Christmas movie. It's the holidays, so you got to talk about Home Alone. We did Home Alone 1 last year, I think. And so we're back mm-hmm. to Home Alone 2 this year. So check that out on Shit 90s Told Me podcast as well. Shit 90s Taught Me podcast as well. And follow me on Twitter at Chappelle's_show to keep up with all that stuff.
Okay. Chappelle, great job today talking through everything with the troll. We had a great week of Survivor this week. So if you missed any of our coverage, we had really fun podcasts, great exit interviews, a really great job by Jamal this week. And then Mike Bloom joined me for the Survivor feedback show, which was an all-timer, not to mention it was a Survivor Academy week as well. Over on Rob as a podcast as we get ready for the Survivor finale coming up on Wednesday. So thank you so much for joining us for Nothing But Netflix. Let us know what holiday movie or special we should be covering next week. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.